Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. Today's Monday, October the 24th. Welcome to the show. First up, is the pirate party pillaging Iceland? Yarr! From the land of Vikings comes a new political party. Be there our libertarians in the fold? I'll discuss after the break. Today's topic, is it rigged? Ron Paul says voting was used to pacify the public. And is America the democracy that we had planned? The sad state of our republic, after a brief word from our sponsors. Also, what are the frightening implications of a Donald Trump victory? All that and more on the Freedom Report podcast.
Will America survive its next election or let two-party corruption collapse the country into a second civil war? Blood Republic is a new political thriller which details what happens when the Electoral College ties and both parties claim victory. Blood Republic by James R. Duncan is available for download or in paperback on Amazon.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. So today we are going to be talking up front about the Pirate Party. This is the big news that I thought was interesting today that came out. Just a real quick story on libertyviral.com if you haven't read it. Pirate Party to pillage Iceland politics. Pirate Party in Iceland is poised to win Iceland's national elections. This turn of events is odd because the Pirate Party in Iceland did not exist 4 years ago. Made up of a combination of anarchists, libertarians, hackers, and computer programmers, the party started in protest to national banking scandal that forced the prime minister to step down. People want real changes, and they understand that we have to change the systems. We have to modernize how we make laws, said Birgitta Jonsdottir, the party's founder. The Pirate Party has set themselves up as the anti-establishment party in Iceland, and the citizens embrace the movement. The distrust that had long been germinating has now exploded. The pirates are riding on that wave, said Ragnathur Kristjánsdóttir, a political history professor at the University of Iceland. We've had new parties before, and then they faded. What's surprising is that they're maintaining their momentum. Much like the third-party system in the U.S., many consider the Pirate Party to be a joke, but according to the polls, a joke that the people are willing to accept. The Pirate Party is part of a larger international movement fighting for open government and increased freedom, and founded in Sweden with origins focused mainly on patents and copyright laws. The main challenger to the Pirate Party is the Independence Party, the center-right establishment that has been around for years but lost power since the Prime Minister resigned. People are still angry at us for that. There's a lot of distrust in traditional politics and traditional politicians, said Birgir Armansson, an Independence member of Parliament. You can try experiments, but if you want economic stability and growth, then you have to vote for us. This argument sounds like the Republican and Democratic response to the Libertarian Party. Idle promises built on the backs of repetitive scandals. Interesting. So we'll be watching you, Pirate Party, if you're listening to us in Iceland, which I think we probably have 4 or 5 people from that little country. So best wishes to you, our libertarian brethren. And if you're a status socialist in that movement, well then, you know, listen to your libertarian friends. Because you know how what happens is that a few libertarians come in, they'll pioneer it, and then the socialist progressives are like, oh no, it's not the central planning that we want, right? Because essentially what will occur in these kinds of movements is you'll get like 2 or 3 libertarians, and you hope that they're at the head of the movement. But internationally, true libertarian classical liberals like ourselves are very rare, so it's hard for them to kind of maintain a majority even when they're working within minorities like this, minority parties. So it's tough. It's tough. It's hard out there for a libertarian. So anyways, all right, let's move on to the bigger news of the day. What is the question of whether this is rigged? And I know, sorry to laugh, I know this is an important subject or something like that, but it is a difficult subject because you have to define your terms. Like, what is really rigged about this system? And Ron Paul says U.S. elections are rigged, voting simply used to pacify the public. And that is a big headline because when a 3-time presidential candidate says the system is rigged and, you know, he's not like an ally necessarily of Donald Trump, well, then your ears are going to perk up. But I mean, it's one thing for Ralph Nader to say something like that. Of course, we all expect that. But when Ron Paul says that the voting is simply used to pacify the public, you got to stand up and listen because, you know, some people who know me very well know that, like, recently I've had some criticism for Dr. Paul, but that's just minor disagreements on certain things of tactics, I would say. But in terms of philosophy, Ron Paul's the man. So when he's talking here about the electoral system, as someone who ran for office, certainly mine wasn't rigged. There are aspects of voting that seem like it's rigging. When you're talking about like busing in people to polls, well, essentially, you know, if you can get more delegates, if you can get voters to poll, like it's not necessarily rigging. essentially, right? So, but when you're working within a party system, like Ron Paul did, I'm going to talk about this here, I'm going to read the story to you. When you're talking about rigging, you know, there are ways in which it is rigged. Now, there's the party system, which is ostensibly a public-private partnership, even though they're supposed to be private parties, and the Libertarian Party is too. But the delegates and the national committees of these parties are what decide what occurs, unless you're talking about some of the rules that are passed, right? So what will happen is that we're going to talk about this rule today in the Republican Party that specifically was written in order to edge Ron Paul out of the nomination for the Republican Party so that Mitt Romney could win. And that kind of stuff doesn't exactly, it can't really happen in the Libertarian Party because of the system that we have in place, which are some safeguards, which allows a little bit more looseness. Some people complain that the rules in the Libertarian Party are rigged, but truly they, because of the way that the presidential and the vice presidential candidates are selected, which is different than the two major parties, there is a bit more openness and transparency in the Libertarian Party, even though they do suffer from some of the problems of traditional parties, which we can talk about later. But on a grand, broad, national question of whether or not it's rigged, well, the answer is still, it depends. But when he says voting simply used to pacify the public, well, that perks your ears up, because that's the kind of thing, it sounds like a conspiracy theory, right? So you want to make sure that you understand, what does he mean by that? And my initial knee-jerk reaction to that is, hell yes, I think so too, because, you know, it's become a bit of the opiate of the masses that only the elections are what matter that's gonna change things. And that may sound like it's two-faced coming from someone who saw the election, but you have to understand, like, there are motives and then there are motives for why people decide to seek office, and those can be multiple motives, and whether or not those motives are questionable remains to be seen. And so in terms of, can we have a system where as many people at the table possible, yes, we should have that, but everybody knows that you couldn't have like 150 people on a debate stage because no one would get to speak, right? So there has to be some method of accountability for candidates so that they can be properly vetted, and that we can have a system where people are free to decide who their elected representatives are. Because we're talking essentially here about democracy versus liberty. We're talking about the ability to vote, whether or not you have a right to vote. This is the essence of the electoral system. And it's big in the news now because of what Donald Trump has been saying, that it's rigged, and so on and so forth. And of course, we've seen the James O'Keefe thing, Project Veritas videos, which, you know, some things in it are really bad. Some things aren't necessarily as big as they claim. But we're going to break into this today and hash into it for a nice long audio podcast, because I know you guys, when you listen to this audio version of the show, I know you guys are all astute. You tend to listen longer. Like, so when I do my audio show, which is the Freedom Report that you're listening to right now, and then I do my live streams, which I'm starting to cut down on the timing of, simply because the live streams for you guys are video. It takes a lot more work to produce those things. And so I need to tighten it up, because people don't watch videos as long. But when you're listening to me right now, you're the type of listener that is really engaged. So if you're listening to this right now, then you're probably like either a super fan or I don't know who you are. But tell me, because I love to hear from you. So here's the little commercial for you guys, is that I love to hear your feedback. I love to hear what you like about the show, tips, suggestions, activist ideas. You know, keep them coming at me. You can always contact me on my Facebook page. But I like to hear what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. You know, if you're interested in helping out, that's the kind of stuff that's valuable. So let's get to the stories. Ron Paul, U.S. elections are rigged. Voting simply used to pacify the public. This comes from youronlinenews.net. More people are discovering that the system is all rigged and voting is just pacification, three-time presidential candidate Dr. Ron Paul said about U.S. elections in an interview with RT America. Mint Press. Dr. Ron Paul says the American electoral system is rigged to keep, quote, independent thinkers from succeeding. Oh, he's right. Quote, I see elections as so much of a charade, the former Texas congressman said during an April 11th appearance on RT America's The Fish Tank. So much deceit goes on. Paul is no stranger to the twisted rules of the American presidential horse race. He ran for the highest office as a Libertarian in 1988, and in 2008 and 2012 as a Republican. He arguably came closest to the nomination in 2012, when the GOP amended its party regulations to prevent the former Texas representative from stealing Mitt Romney's thunder. Rule 40B of the Rules of the Republican Party was changed so that the Republican National Committee could, quote, limit the visibility and power of libertarian-minded Texas Rep. Ron Paul at the convention and thus present a unified front behind Mitt Romney, the presumptive nominee, according to David Beiler, an elections analyst at Real Clear Politics. The rule requires that, in order to win the nomination, a candidate must have the support of a majority of delegates from 8 states. Although recent wins have tipped Senator Cruz past the cutoff, the rule as written came close to helping Trump take the nomination. Paul warned that the GOP's machinations to block Donald Trump are a sign of a corrupt, undemocratic system. Quote, "I've worked on the assumption for many, many decades that whether there's a Republican or a Democrat president, the people who want to keep the status quo seem to have their finger in the pot and can control things," he said in an interview. "They just get so nervous, though, if they have an independent thinker out there. Whether it's Sanders or Trump or Ron Paul, they're going to be very desperate to try to change things." Paul had nothing but scorn for Trump's policies, however. Quote, "He's offering us nothing new, and he's going backward in many ways." He suggested that the 2016 election is a lot more entertainment than anything else, because none of the candidates, quote, have answers to modern political problems. Even so, Paul interprets the success of these outsider candidates as a sign that, quote, "More people are discovering that the system is all rigged and voting is just pacification for the voters, and it really doesn't count. I don't think there's an easy way out for the establishment or the parties," he noted, explaining that Democrats and Republicans would both rather risk further alienation of the people than allow a candidate to succeed who could shake up the system. Paul recalled in his own 2012 encounter with Rule 40B as an important political lesson for both himself and the American people. "I was upset about it, but didn't want to waste too energy being angry, because this is the way the system works," he said. "It's a rotten system." Thank you very much, Ron Paul. Absolutely correct. It is a rotten system. And it is amazing, because with the intersectionality of all of these different ideologies and politics, and everyone who is struggling and grasping for power, and the opportunists, and all of the doubt that the voters have in the system that they are feeling enfranchised, it's unbelievable that more people don't see where the real conspiracy is out in the open. It's not the secret meetings. It's not the Bilderbergs. It's not even the Illuminati, ladies and gentlemen. It is the open conspiracy that happens every single day. And that is the electoral system, and that is our party system. It is a two-party system. We have gerrymandering of districts. It's not even just voting at the ballot box where you worry that somebody's going to show up or be a fraud or be a dead voter from a voter roll list. I mean, that does happen on the local level, but it's at the national. If you're talking about the national elections, ladies and gentlemen, it is out in the open. I mean, the fact that we know about Rule 40B and we understand its implications ought to tell you right now that there just aren't enough good people to stand up and change it. That's really what the problem is. Somebody was talking to me on a flight this way back. I was giving a speech at the Students for Liberty this weekend in Charlotte. And you know what's amazing is these people, when I talk to them, they're like, "Oh my God, you ran for president." So they'll usually have questions. We're like, "I would have voted for you in a heartbeat over these two." But when it comes to most people, they just aren't willing to do enough about it. Like, everybody knows that the system's rigged, right? Everybody knows that it's broken. But how it's broken, everybody's trying to figure out. I think this is where the conspiracy theorists have a problem, is that everybody's trying to figure out like it's some secret conspiracy. No, it's out in the open. And we, good people, if good people set up, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. And when I was speaking to my fellow citizens, it's like, you know, I feel like people are starting to come out of a malaise. Like something's coming on the horizon, not just this national election, but just either what I hope is an awakening. But it seems like people are just out of each other's throats. It's like people want a war. You know, like there were two militia guys here in Missouri, I think they found, that were, you know, threatening violence. It's scary. And I do not live my life in fear. I tell you, I have what I believe is a pretty healthy, well-adjusted view of things, you know, and I'm always objective and fair. But if you got a problem in the electoral system like we have right now, we can talk about like all the minute details here in just a moment, but if you're not willing to do something about it, I mean, what are you doing? Complaining. You're just complaining. If you're even complaining, what's going to happen next week? Here's what my prediction for the elections. Here's what I guarantee are going to happen. Many of us Americans, maybe some of you listening, are going to wait till the last minute before you go into the polling place. You don't know who your down ballot candidates are. You're going to get on your phone and hope you get yourself a sample ballot, and you're going to vote the wrong one. You know, there was a guy who tried to run for chair of the Libertarian Party this year, And he was going to try and be the leader of the party. And the guy voted on the wrong ballot line. Uninformed voters. What are we doing? Wake up, guys. Like, I want us all to win, too. But, I mean, sometimes, like, it's like looking at your fellow American. Being awake, and you look at your fellow Americans, and you see the decisions that they're making, and you're just like, it's a nation of sheep. And what's amazing, too, are the people who are like, oh, yeah, we know. Yeah, it's a slaughter. You know, bah, and they go back to sleep. I agree with Ron Paul. It is a rotten system. You know, and it's incredible that he doesn't want to waste, you know, time being angry, because I can understand what it means to be bitter. You know, I understand the stinging loss. And, you know, and again, in my experience with the Libertarian Party has been unique, and I won't attribute a lot of the sort of accusations to rigged the Libertarian Party, because, again, there is a much more open system in many ways there. But in some sense, there were some institutional challenges that were presented to me in my run, and also internal challenges. I mean, obviously, you have to raise money, you have to get around the country, you have to be able to communicate with voters in some ways, and I feel like I kind of pioneered the use of technology in presidential campaigns, which I can see a lot of people now are mimicking, and that's exciting because I'm glad that I can introduce some competition, and that's really what essentially you have to do sometimes, is we need more people out there competing and running for office, which is only one way of activating and doing libertarian activism. There are many other ways, and I think that there's an argument there that sometimes we do focus too much on politics explicitly. In fact, one of the questions that was asked to me at the Libertarian Convention I was at this last weekend is, like, you know, how do you motivate people other than running for office? And I told them, start a business, you know? Start a business. And essentially, libertarian ideals can be advanced through capitalism. If you engage in capitalism and you open a business, an LLC, and do business and make money, then you can fund more activism. And you can be the next David Koch or Charles Koch, you know, Koch brothers. Speaking of conspiracy theories. I keyed. But, yeah, in terms of this being rigged, it just seems to me as if whether or not it's rigged, like, and there are aspects of it that are rigged, there are some that are not. I mean, think about Hillary Clinton and her WikiLeaks release. One of the things that she talked about when she was in those meetings with Goldman Sachs was how they all have to pretend that the system's rigged. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm talking more about the economic system here, folks, not just the political system. Let me just pivot here for just a moment. Let's talk about the economic system here in the United States. And then we're going to talk about what I said earlier, what happens if Donald Trump wins here. But the economic system, Hillary Clinton was discussing in one of her, you know, I think it was one of the Goldman Sachs speeches that she gave recently, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but she was saying that that in private, that she was talking privately about how her and the executives know that the marketplace is much more unstable, right? So if this elite has control over the political system, that's one thing. But in terms of the economic system, that is another matter entirely. And I don't know if Trump even knows that, other than the fact that he's advocated against free trade and for tariffs, which is amazing because the guy has benefited from nothing but free trade in his life. You know, talk about Chinese steel here. But what Hillary Clinton seems to understand, which Donald Trump either doesn't understand or maybe he's just playing dumb. I don't know what is going on in his head these days. But what Hillary Clinton and these executives, these big rich executives, these the Illuminati, if there are any, what they understood is that the competitive system, the economic system, is competitive. Yeah, they use licensing and regulations and taxation to keep people like me out that are entrepreneurs that are trying to, like, build businesses and compete. You know, and there, you know, when you talk about the Time Warner merger and you're talking about AT&T, this is where we're talking people worry about monopoly. But it isn't a monopoly. You know, I had to explain to my friend yesterday that despite the fact that AT&T and Time Warner might merge, you have to understand, I get my internet from Google. Okay? And remember what happened when Time Warner merged with AOL? Right? This is what Hillary was talking about there. This is a really key component here, ladies and gentlemen, because this is the secret, the key secret to explaining to our fellow Americans why the free market system works and why the political system ought to work more like it. Because in the economic sphere, even the central planners, all the best plans, the best laid plans of mice and men, even the best laid plans of mice and men, fails when applied to the pricing system. Do you understand what I mean, ladies and gentlemen? Are you going along with this? Is this too, like, meta for you guys? I don't know. It's tough to know my audience. That's why earlier I was asking you guys to communicate with me. I like to hear from people. And of course, obviously, I would love for you to share this content with your friends. But that's neither here nor there. Moving on. The frightening implications of a Donald Trump victory. This is Josh Gueker writing at the Libertarian Republic, editor-in-chief. Josh, very talented young man who is heading up my flagship publication these days. Josh writes, Election Day 2016 is only 15 days away. Donald Trump is currently expected to lose to Hillary Clinton in a massive landslide. Libertarians have plenty of qualms with each candidate. Clinton is likely the most dishonest and corrupt presidential candidate in recent memory. In spite of her having almost no chance of victory against any other Republican, she is poised for victory against the wildly unpopular Trump. As most students of political science will explain, the president has very little actual power. Indeed, he or she may set the tone for his or her administration through the use of appointment power and the, quote, bully pulpit. However, the ability to alter policy remains vested largely in Congress. With this in mind, we are brought to the actual significance of presidential election victories. These quadrennial contests tell what the American public is thinking or feeling. On a basic level, they explain whether the in-party has done a good job in the eyes of voters. However, this year's election symbolizes something even larger. 8 years after electing the first black president of the United States, Donald Trump has run likely the most racist, xenophobic, and overall ignorant campaign in recent American history. Moreover, given his ever-changing positions, this is the official extent of his platform. His rhetoric has been so toxic that comparing him to segregationist George Wallace has become commonplace. If Hillary Clinton wins, it would be extremely bad news for the country. As stated above, she is hopelessly corrupt and disingenuous. However, it would not be as it would be the most shocking thing that voters would elect someone like her. Most skeptics of government see nearly all elected representatives as willing to do anything to get reelected. The difference is that with Trump, we would see a marked and unwelcome shift in what is seen as acceptable and not in American discourse. By voting for Trump, voters would signal that either they are supportive of the hatred he espouses or that they are willing to turn a blind eye to this hatred and vote for him nonetheless. Either explanation is troubling, to say the least. Any other explanation, as in, quote, choosing the lesser of two evils, has been thoroughly debunked. As explained above, a Hillary Clinton victory and subsequent presidency will do serious damage to the United States. However, the sickening meaning behind a Trump victory on its face is worth serious examination. This is even without mentioning that there is no guarantee that Trump, having no principles whatsoever, will not advance a policy agenda similar to Clinton's once elected. That was by Joshua Gueker of the LibertarianRepublic.com. Thank you very much for listening to the show today, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think? You like it? Like I said, reach out and touch me on Facebook. You can hit me up, Austin Peterson. Hit the one with the blue check mark and send me a message to my Facebook page or an email, or hit me up on Twitter at AP4LP. That's AP, the number 4LP. Check out my websites. That's the LibertarianRepublic.com as well as LibertyViral.com. Two fabulous teams of writers fighting every day for your economic freedom and personal liberty. And if you really want to get involved in activism and you want to learn how to kick some butt, then get out there and work with us at the Stonegate Institute. That's the Stonegate Institute, brand new institution, three parts, three-headed hydra for freedom. It's the Freedom Ninja Team, Squad Freedom, whatever you want to call us. But the Stonegate Institute is a new 501c4 institution which is dedicated to activism for libertarian concepts as well as for libertarian candidates and advocacy. That is a 501c4. We also have a PAC, a new super PAC as well. We are going to be kicking ass and fighting for liberté. So fraternity, yeah, exactly, all that good stuff that you guys care about. So check out Stonegate Institute, spelled S-T-O-N-E-G-A-I-T, institute.org, and get in touch with the man, Joe Trotter, who's running it up. Have a fantastic day, ladies and gentlemen, a great week, and help us all. Flying Spaghetti Monster, help us all. We are all in trouble.